No Exception Clauses by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
Okay, we're in Acts chapter 15 this morning. Acts 15, the first 11 verses. A section we entitled No Exception Clauses. A lot of times there's exceptions, aren't there? This exception and that exception. I certainly like it when there aren't exception clauses. You know exactly where you're at and what's going on and what to expect. And so this is an important decision by the early church to show forth God's truth and the way of salvation. And we'll look at that just after we pray. Lord, thank you again for your word. I just thank you for the faithfulness of the apostles and the early church founders and followers. I pray, God, that you'd help us to be faithful. Help us to learn from these examples and these ones who have gone before us and helped lay the foundation, and we're building on the foundation they've laid in Christ, and help us, Lord, to realize that we can't build anything unless it's built on Christ. And only those things are going to last. God, we just pray that you'll guide us in our study this morning. Help us and guide us by your Spirit. Speak to our hearts and help us to appreciate all that you've done and continue to do for us on a daily basis. Bless us with your Spirit and help your word come alive to us today. We ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Paul and Barnabas had no small problem with the Judaizers. People, I call them like Judaizers anyway. They were individuals that say it's all right to trust Christ, but you need to add all the other Mosaic law to that in order to make sure of your salvation. We'll say, Pastor, we don't have anything like that today, do we? Oh, yes, we do. We've got all kinds of people that say, except you do this and that, you cannot be saved. Do certain things, or don't do certain things, you can't be saved. With God, we are assured there are no exception clauses. That there's one and only one way of salvation, and that's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood, which is shed for the remission of our sin, praise God, because it's not by works of righteousness we've done, amen, but by His precious shed blood that we have salvation. And that's the only way of salvation. You know, God made it very clear, I think, in His word, that sin is a big problem. Wouldn't you say? He goes to great lengths to show that he offered them ways through the Mosaic law of covering that sin for a future date. In fact, he even pointed them that there would come a time when a sacrifice would be made that would cleanse all those sins. Sometimes it's hard to see. But you know, we have the advantage of looking back in retrospect all over the ages and seeing how God worked with His people in the past and showed them, you know, that sin needed to have a sacrifice for it. The wages of sin, the scripture very clearly says, is death. But God has other plans, doesn't He? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, when they began to establish churches, and we've already seen how they had set things in order in the various different churches that they were in, and they ordained elders in those sites, individuals that would lead those churches spiritually. There was always a group that would come along and try to say, hey, it's not enough to trust Christ. Except you do this or that, you can't be saved. And so in verse 1, we come right to the crux of the problem. It says, certain men which came down from Judah taught the brethren and said, except, here's where I get the exception clause, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, I don't think they were necessarily saying that circumcision is the only thing you have to do besides trust Christ as Savior. Circumcision was a symbol that you would adhere to the law of Moses. It was that rite or that ritual that identified them as a practicing Jewish believer. Okay? And if you were a young little boy, it'd be like on the eighth day. They'd take you down to the priest and you'd be circumcised. If you converted to Judaism later in life, it would be later. Now, Abraham, the father of the Jews, he wasn't circumcised till he was 90, wasn't it? I mean, it was way up in life when that occurred in his life. You suppose Abraham was saved? You suppose Abraham believed God? In fact, the Word of God says Abraham believed God, and God counted that to him for righteousness. The problem that they had was there were individuals that came along and said, okay, it's not enough to trust Jesus Christ as your personal and Savior and Lord. You need to keep all these Old Testament commandments. You know what? They and their fathers have been trying that for thousands of years. How's that been going, guys? You know? That's why the Word of God says the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It helps us to learn that there's no way, no how, we can do it on our own. We can't earn our own personal salvation. There's nothing I can do to earn it. It's already been bought and paid for. Amen?
Amen.
It's on deposit for you. Isn't it good to know that there's a deposit made already?
Amen.
And it's sufficient to pay the debt that you and I owe? A debt that we couldn't pay? It's kind of like going down to the bank and you go in to pay your bill and, or a part of it, and they say, it's already paid. You say, what? Somebody's deposited to your account. Credited to your account that amount that you needed to pay. That ever happened to you? Doesn't happen very often, does it? Okay? But sometimes that actually does happen in the physical and material world. But I guarantee you, in the spiritual world, that has occurred for you the moment you trusted Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. He paid the price completely and fully. It's not like you go down to the car guys and you have to put down a dollar and pay a dollar a day for the rest of your life. right? Jesus Christ paid in full up front. His own precious shed blood. So that you and I won't ever have to pay anything for it. The price is paid. It's been settled. Now, these individuals taught that, hey, you've got to do this. You've got to keep the law to make sure of your personal salvation. Let's see what happens. And therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputing with them. They determined Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go down to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about the question. And being brought on their way by the church, by the way, that's when it talks about being brought on their way, it means that they were funded by the church that sent them to ask the question. And brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, that caused great joy with all the brethren. When they came to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and declared all the things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it is needful to circumcise them, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So guess where part of the problem was? Back in the mother church. Okay? And so the question then goes to the church and the elders, the apostles. And the apostles and elders came together and for to consider this matter. There had been much disputing. Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, ye know how a great while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, Peter is sharing recent history. How that God by him had spoken. Remember the sheep that Peter saw? It came down, rise and eat. No, you can't do that. You know, that's unclean stuff. And so by God's giving that particular vision, he showed Peter what I make clean is clean, and declaring that the Gentile peoples would be a part of those that be saved as well. Not just Jewish people, but Gentile people as well. And so that gives it the good part, which the Word of God says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever wants to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. And so Peter is rehearsing those things, and he says that God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, gave them the Holy Ghost, even as he did to us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke on the yoke of the disciples, which none of our fathers were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. And so God's word makes it very clear, and Peter is rehearsing these things to show them that there's only one way of salvation. That's by grace, through faith, in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. His blood and his shed blood alone is that which is able to cleanse away our sins and make us right with him. And furthermore, he says, why would you put a yoke on somebody that's had the yoke taken off? We don't know too much about yokes, but yokes weren't fun. But yokes usually bound together a couple of oxen, and they would pull a load together. They would bear that load. If you're going to be locked in a load, you probably ought to be locked in a load with Jesus. Jesus said this, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But they weren't putting a light load on these people. In fact, they were putting a harsh load on them because the Lord had freed them to serve Him. The Word of God is not just about a lot of mustn'ts. The Word of God is about a lot of musts. Things that we must do if we're saved. And more than that, it's about things that we want to do because we are saved and our lives are changed and our attitudes changed. You know, our lives completely change when we come to Christ. Old things pass away. We have new aspirations, new hopes, new dreams. We want the things that He wants in our lives because we know those things are the best for us. Do you know that? That Jesus Christ has your best interest at heart? You know, sometimes when you're going through struggles, it's hard to get your head wrapped around that. You know? Hang in there. Hang in there. Because He is with you. And when you can't make the steps, He'll be carrying you along life's way. Praise the Lord. Amen. The problem is, many times people who trust the Lord want to force other people in their mode or in their frame of being or how they do things. Just let God do it. Amen? Help them to grow, yes, in the faith and the belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. But don't give them this big long list of commandments and say, do this and this and this and this and this and you'll be all right. There's no exception clauses. The Lord wants us to realize that He's paid the price already. He has the way shown for us. We need to simply follow Him, listen to Him, and grow in His Word and His grace and His knowledge day by day. You know, that's what God wants for us. Sometimes we just make it hard on others when they come to Christ. And we say, hey, you mustn't do this or you mustn't do that. Well, what we need to do is we say we must follow Christ. We must exalt Christ. We must give glory to Christ. In fact, Jesus said this, His commandments are not grievous. Why is that? Because He has our best interest at heart. He does. It's not hard to follow someone that you know loves you and cares for you and provides the best for you. You know, sometimes life is a little sticky, isn't it? There's difficulties along the way, but guess what? You're not on your own anymore. He's there with you to help you and uplift you. And that's what we need to be to new converts as well. We need to be those that are there to encourage and strengthen and guide and help to stand in the face of those adversities. There's nothing you can do to help more than pray. Pray. Because we know who intervenes when God's people pray. When God's people pray, God intervenes, and God changes things. Sometimes God changes hearts. And God makes a way that's better for us. We need to learn that we can't do everything right either. You know, here was a group of people that thought, hey, all you've got to do now is just keep all the law of Moses. Do you notice what Peter said? Your fathers tried that for a long time. How'd that go? Not so well, did it? They couldn't keep it. Guess what? We can't keep it. Nobody can keep it. But we don't have to keep it, because Jesus provides his grace and his goodness and his love for us and his forgiveness that cleanses all our sin and washes us white and pure within and makes us into new people that can give glory to his name. People, that's what it's about. It's about us sharing the simple fact that Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation. For by grace are you saved, the scripture says, through faith. That not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul said, if anybody could boast about doing good things, he could. That was his past. But he also said, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to only boast of Christ henceforth. You see, that's where our boasting needs to be. Not in the things that we've done, but the things that Christ has done and continues to do on our behalf. Salvation is of Christ and him alone. It doesn't depend on you doing certain things or not doing certain things. It simply depends on what he's done for us already. Praise the Lord. That way nobody can boast other than in Christ, because he is the one that's worthy of all the boasting and praise and glory. And so today let us remember how important it is for us to keep that in mind when we reach new people. They don't need a big long list of do's and don'ts. What they need is people that will love them in the name of Christ and help to guide them in their life and encourage them to serve him and grow in him day by day. That's what we all need. We need each other. We don't need to be divisive as these individuals were. We need to be those that cause others to want to come and receive the goodness and grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've been in churches in the past that were very exclusive. Very exclusive. One professor said, well, they're so narrow over there, they can see through the keyhole with both eyes wide open. That's pretty narrow.
Yeah.
But you know what? It opens a lot of things up when we begin to look at things like Christ looks at things. We're all sinners. If any of us are saved, it's by grace through faith in him. We've got nothing to boast about, but we've got someone we can boast in. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he loves us, we know he'll love them. And we can share that good news with them and encourage them to grow closer and closer to Christ. Christ will bring us together. The things that bring us apart are the things that put up rules and laws and regulations. Those things divide us. Let us therefore center on Jesus Christ. He is the includer. He brings us together in himself and helps us to grow in his grace and knowledge so that we might become the people that show forth his grace and goodness and love to the world. May God give us each one the strength we need this next week to do exactly that, to show forth God's goodness and grace in our world. And how that he is the one and only Savior that people need today. Well, people are looking for a Savior. They're looking for someone to solve their problems. Most of the problems are, well, just here and now, when the real problems are eternal problems, problems which only Jesus Christ can solve. Remember, always point people to Him, because He will open their eyes to His saving grace. And then, having received that, help them to grow in that knowledge of Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this particular section of Scripture. I thank You so much for Your grace and goodness. We can't emphasize enough how important and imperative it is for us to trust You and simply trust You, for there's no other means of salvation other than through You. Guide us and bless us. Keep us in Your care. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged by Your Spirit as He guides us into all truth and shows us that salvation is completely of You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for what You've done. Thank You for shedding Your blood for us to give us complete forgiveness of sin. Guide us and bless us and help us, Lord, as we seek to share that word with others in the days ahead. We ask and pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 527.
527 is a closing hymn this morning. 527. Christ our Lord. Lord, we thank You that salvation is all of You, because we know that salvation is complete and full because You have provided it. Lord, just bless us. Help us to remember not to add anything to or take anything away from the salvation we have in Christ. Help us, Lord, to glorify You and point others to You in all we do. We ask and pray that You'll uplift us. Keep us in Your care. Put Your hedge of protection around about Your people, Lord, and provide bountifully in their lives those things that they need. And we pray for health and strength and encouragement. We ask this all in Christ's name.